If you take your Bibles out, please, and turn to Luke chapter 1, and as you do, will you just hum the first few bars of your favorite Christmas carol, not 12 Days of Christmas, but your favorite Christmas carol, okay? Just it should be louder, and it should be confusing, because everybody's is different. Good, thank you. We're going to just warm your voices up that way because we're going to talk about Mary's song. Our storylines theme this week, this year, the storylines of people who have encountered and interacted with God continues, and we're looking at the story of Mary this morning, and particularly at the story after she's been told by the angel that she will be the mother of the Messiah. I want you to remember a couple of things that are very important about her story and that I want you to keep in mind as we study the song that she sings. The first is that according to what we read, according to what we know about that time, Mary is most likely between the ages of 13 years of age and 17. Do we have any 13-year-old young ladies in the room? Is there anybody 13, 14? How old? 14? Just stand up for me, just for a sec. I won't embarrass you. You don't have to sing or anything. Just stand up. Keep standing there. Do we have any 17-year-olds? Any 17-year-old ladies? Okay, she's 14. Thank you. You can be seated. Just keep in mind, we love them, we respect them, we honor them, their youth, their vitality, but we don't expect a lot of wisdom. We don't expect them to make life and death decisions. It's part of being young. You get to do you as a young person. Keep that in mind as we go. She was somewhere between 13 and 17 years old. And may I remind you a bit of the information that we looked at a couple of Sundays ago when we were talking about the marriage process of that day. An arrangement was made, usually between two fathers, where they said to one another, "My son seems like a good match with your daughter. Let's agree that they will get married at the proper time." Again, I have been so surprised and just a little disappointed that I've not had one daughter call since that sermon and say, "Listen, how do we get this process going?" There hasn't been one father who's come into my office and said, "Listen, my daughter is sort of pushing me to make that happen. How do we initiate that?" I've been a little disappointed. But once the arrangement was made, a contract would be signed and a small celebration was held, and the couple were considered married at that moment. That was the marriage ceremony. And then the groom would go home with his father and would start to prepare a place for him and his wife to live. And he would remain with his father and mother, usually for 9 to 10 to 12 months. And she would go home with her father and she would start gathering linens and cookery and getting all the things that would be necessary to make that house a home. And there was also this little test. There was this watching of her life to make sure that when she was coming together with her husband, she wasn't pregnant by someone else, to prove that she was eligible. And if she was discovered to be pregnant, she can be divorced by her husband. But even worse, there could be a petition that's put out before the city fathers to put her and the father of her baby to death. I just need you to keep that in mind, too, as we come to this story. So we start into our text about the song that Mary sings to God at that incredible moment in her life. Luke chapter 1, we're beginning at verse 30. A few days after, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's voice, at the sound of her greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary's heard her assignment from an angel, and that same angel has told her that her rather elderly cousin, her favorite relative, a dear relative who's been unable to have a baby, is now miraculously pregnant. And so when you are part of the miracle story, you look around for someone who has experienced, someone who has believed in, someone who will understand you too are part of a miracle story and someone who can connect with you. And so Mary hurries from her home to Elizabeth's home, a trip of about 150 kilometers from Nazareth to a small, unnamed Judean town close to Jerusalem, where her cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zachariah live. And when Mary enters their house with a greeting, "Hello, is anyone home? I'm here." And the sound of her voice through the house, two things happen. The first thing that has happened is that the baby that Elizabeth carries jumps inside of her womb. Now, it's not seemingly a big deal. Babies move and kick and bump and cause havoc all the time. But the language is definite. That movement, that leap, that jump was in response to the sound of Mary's voice. The baby who will be born in just 3 months and will be named John by his father leaps in response to the sound of Mary's voice. We don't often think this or understand or consider it to be true, but it's true. Our voice has power. Our voice has influence. Our voice produces response. I understand this not only by what we read here, but by the voices in my own world. There are voices that come to me at specific times, not voices in my head, just so you know, but voices of friends who call to me, and their voices, there are voices who can make me laugh. Voices that can calm me down, voices that can reach through to me and impart hope, bring reason, wisdom, understanding. When one of my kids calls and says, "Hello, Dad, what are you up to? I'm just calling to see how you are." Those voices, those words have power to impart calm to me. When Debbie says to me during a discussion, "Bill, it's going to be okay." No matter what I feared before she said that, I am comforted by the fact that it will be okay. Your voice has power. It carries authority. I also know that our voice has power because of how powerfully the enemy of our soul attempts to quiet, still, discredit our voice, attempts to make our words ineffective and unbelievable. Hear me on this matter, church. Your voice matters. Your voice makes a difference. You have the ability to use your voice to cause people to leap for joy or to calm them down, to be thoughtful, to be careful in what they are about to do. Your voice has power. And the second thing that happens when Mary calls out her greeting is that Elizabeth, this godly woman, Elizabeth, is filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't explain it, define it, even replicate it, but hear me. Mary's voice is sounded, and supernaturally, Elizabeth knows what it is in that moment to be full of the Holy Spirit. Something happens. She hears the voice, and there's joy. There's excitement. There's this revelation. There's this understanding. What wasn't there just seconds before is now there. The fullness of the Spirit. And that fullness is exhibited in a very unique but beautiful way. Verse 42, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you. above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you have believed that the Lord would do what he said. So incredible, this infilling, this coming of the Holy Spirit, this fullness that came into Elizabeth's life through the Holy Spirit, that she got loud. It says she cried, she got loud. It's an excited, animated, powerful, insightful thing that she starts to speak out the secrets of God that she did not know moments before the door opened to her house. Elizabeth moves into this supernatural knowing and declares boldly, Mary, you've had an encounter with God. And that encounter has changed your life forever. You are blessed. You are marked by God. You are brought to the front of the stage of human history, both now and forevermore. You are carrying a child. That child is special. That child is of God. That child is the Messiah. Before she came, she didn't even know that Mary was coming or that Mary was pregnant. That child is the child that the prophets of old predicted and would come and will soon be here to change the course of time. Mary, I confirm to you what you already know. You are the mother of the Messiah. I am standing here wondering how it is that heaven has arranged this moment to occur in my kitchen. How is it that the Messiah and his mother are here to visit me? Who am I that heaven should notice me? I have the joy of announcing to you that heaven doesn't just notice mothers of sons that change the world. Sons like John the Baptist and the Messiah, but heaven has taken note of you this morning. Of you this morning. My Bible says that he knows where you are. He knows when you get up. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you say what you say before you say it. He is aware of your history. He has designed your future and your destiny. He knows every detail about your story, no matter how small, how seemingly insignificant, like how many hairs are on your head. Now, for some of us, that's not a big mystery. But some of you, it's a wow number. And he knows it. He knows it. Or something as important as the secret desires that are hidden in your heart this morning that nobody else knows. Do not ask how it is that heaven should notice you. Just know that God knows. God cares. God is invested. God is part of your storyline right now. No matter what you perceive is going on, God is there and he knows. Whether you know it or not, by faith, in agreement, say, I agree, amen. That was weak, but we'll work on it. I believe that to be true. I know that it's true. Something happened to me and to my baby when you came in the door, Elizabeth says. And when your voice sounded, my baby leapt with joy. And I started seeing, I started knowing, I understood things that I had not been told. And now I know more. Mary, you will have a deep-seated joy. You will be blessed with joy because when God came to you, when God spoke to you, you did not doubt, you did not back away, you believed. You believed. Remember the two things that I told you at the beginning to remember. The first is that Mary is very young and very inexperienced. And the second is that being pregnant when she was married to Joseph, even though they had not been intimate as a couple, it was a risky thing. She could be divorced by her husband. She could be discovered by her family. She could be asked to leave her community or she could be put to death. Yet, when God visits that young woman, when God speaks to her and said that you will have a baby, she believes God and she responds, may your words be fulfilled in my life. She understands that God knows and that what he is doing, even if she doesn't understand it, that he will work all things out for good because she believes. And so she says, yes, God. She says yes to his plan. I know that you're here in this room this morning, two Sundays before Christmas, because you love God. If you didn't love God, there's too many other options, too many things on the outside of this house in this busy season that could keep you away if you didn't love God. But I am challenging you this Christmas season to move from doubt, to get away from disbelief, from fear, to switch from skepticism and control and be blessed, be assured of the happiness by becoming a believer in the truth. God will work all things out for good for you. God will work all things out for good because you believe and you love and you participate in the understanding that you were called by heaven for divine purpose in this incredible time in which we live. This Christmas season, believe the story is for you. Believe that the story of Jesus coming to invade the human condition was not just a worldwide story for everybody, but that it was true for your story personally. This Christmas, believe. Elizabeth sounds all of this out with great excitement, with great joy, and with a fairly loud pitch because she's so excited. It confirms for Mary all that God has already said. It puts any doubts, any fears that this is something that the devil has whispered or that pepperoni pizza has created. This is a God thing. She knew it, and now Elizabeth has confirmed it. There is a principle in Scripture that is often repeated. It is this: when you put pressure on an individual, whatever is hidden in their heart will come out of their mouth. I have a tube of toothpaste in my hand, and if I squeeze it, the package says that toothpaste will come out. And it did. It would be astounding and disappointing and confusing if I applied pressure to this tube and ketchup or oil or candy or perfume came out. But as advertised, toothpaste came out. And we often advertise on the outside what we think or what we want people to think we are on the inside. We are bold. We are confident. We are truthful. We are believers. But the advertising and the content are not always consistent or as consistent as the toothpaste is. Scripture says, in dealing with people, in living and working with people, be sure that the advertising on the outside matches the content on the inside. And when in doubt, stand back and watch what comes out under pressure, when the pressure is applied to their life. I again remind you what I asked you not to forget at the very beginning. Mary is young, she's inexperienced, and she's in great danger because she's pregnant and it's not by the man she's married to. I can think of a few neighbors who would be talking. You see, the real story is that the baby belongs to God. I can think of a few older ladies in the neighborhood, a few mean girls in the community that aren't going to believe the truth. She's under pressure. Her cousin has just confirmed, you are pregnant and the baby in your womb is the Messiah. And now we're going to watch what comes out of her mouth now that the pressure has been applied to her life. Verse 46. And Mary responded to what Elizabeth had said, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The pressure is applied, and what comes out of her heart and out of her mouth is worship. She sings a song of worship and praise. It's a spontaneous song. It's a song that's never been sung. It's a song that doesn't have words written down. It just comes. She just starts to sing this song that's made up out of her own experience.
It's cultivated through a lifetime spent in the Old Testament. Mary finds the allusions, finds the word pictures, the language from the Psalms and from the song that Hannah sang when she discovered she was pregnant with Samuel. But it's a personal song. She has used the language that she has curated from her time in the scripture, but it's tailored to fit her and her alone. In a shift in both tone and volume from where Elizabeth has been. Elizabeth, in her excitement and in her revelation, has been a big brass band, marching band, announcing and declaring that God is up to something big and wonderful. And she cried out with joy. But Mary, she's now soft, a soft acoustic guitar, thoughtfully, meaningfully, expressing the joy, the delight that she's experiencing in this moment of intimate closeness to God. Neither sound is incorrect or inappropriate. Each one is in response to what God has said, what God has shown, what God is doing in them personally. Mary is rich and contemplative. I have to sing, she says. I have to declare, I have to proclaim what I have discovered, what I know of God. I'm a bit disappointed that the translation that I'm using has excluded the word magnify from the verse we read. Those who've studied this beautiful song and take and use the one word magnify to name, to give a title to this spontaneous song of Mary, it's called the Magnificat. And from the very depth of who I am, Mary says, comes this understanding, comes this reality that I cannot keep silent. I have to release. I have to sing this praise. I have to announce this truth. I have to magnify. I have to reveal. I have to declare the bigness of God right here, right now. I can't do anything else but sing. I'm not paying attention to the circumstances, to the details of my life, because right now I'm captured by the bigness of God, by the beauty of God. The state of my heart is this right now. I am full and overflowing with joy by what I know, by what I have experienced, by the confidence that I have in my God, my Savior, right now. I have this song that percolates inside me that can't be silenced. It has to be announced. It has to be proclaimed. It has to be sung. It's not unusual that emotion is released in us through song. It's the way that it's always been. If it's not you that is singing, then you will reach for a record or a radio or a streaming service that will play the sounds that sound like where you're at. Depends on the day and the circumstance. It might be a dirge. It might be the blues. It might be something you can dance to. It might be a ditty or an anthem, but we find the language for the state of our soul through the music that we listen to and that we sing very often. And here's Mary, young, inexperienced, endangered Mary. And she releases this anthem of praise. Verse 48, he took notice of me, of this lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. God surprised me. I really am not a very big deal. I'm pretty normal as a human being. I don't stand out from the crowd. I'm not on the cover of any magazine. I'm not any kind of celebrity. I have believed for all of my life that God was God and that he would send Messiah in his own time. I am part of a small group relative to the size of the world's population who believes and serves God wholeheartedly. But God knew who I was. God knew where I was. God took notice of me, just a low person on the totem pole of life, just a servant girl. Nobody special. And yet, he has told me that I am part of the big picture. He has shown me that big picture, and the generations will look back on this moment, on my life, and will see and be inspired by my trust in God. But even now, I'm aware this story is not about me. It's all about God. I want you to know some things that I've learned in these amazing hours that have taken and transformed my life since the angel spoke to me. And so I sing this song about God's faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. From Abraham to David has been 14 generations. To everyone in that era of time, he spoke, he acted, he revealed himself. He didn't change. He was always faithful. From David to the exile, 14 more generations. Again, the report is the same. He has not changed. There is no need for him to change. He is perfect. He is complete. He is as he should be. He's faithful. And from the exile to where I stand right now, 14 more generations. There's a plan. There's a purpose. Again, the report is the same. He has not changed. There is no need for him to change. He is perfect. He is complete as he is. So for 52 generations, about 1,300 years, God has been God. No one has knocked him over. No one has dethroned him. He is still sovereign. He is still everywhere present. He's still all-knowing. He's still all-powerful. Should this story go on for another 52 generations, he will not change then. He will always be faithful. It's who he is. Church, hear what Mary is saying in her song to you. He has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken you. For all this time, he has been faithful. He will not start failing you now in the difficult circumstances that you face in this life. She sings, he is faithful, he is faithful, he is faithful, he changes not. But then Mary's song, this spontaneous song, moves on. And she starts to sing about his power, his matchless, unbelievable power. He has done mighty things. Take your finger and go anywhere in the Old Testament and start pointing and you see his power. You see his greatness. You could stop at the parting of the Red Sea or the days of creation, the standing in battles and wars of the time of the Old Testament, the rise and the fall of kings and kingdoms. And now here with me, he again has revealed himself as Almighty God of all times. He's done great things, things that have never been done before. The unchanging, powerful, almighty God is with you. When you're needing a miracle, when you're requiring God, a God-infused moment of breakthrough, start singing. Start announcing, start proclaiming the power of the Almighty. Calm your fears with the song of praise. Put your circumstances and your enemies on notice that the unchanging Almighty God is with you and he's moving you forward. Sing a song. Sing a song. Mary picks up another theme on the character of God. He is holy, she sings out. We don't always know what holy means or looks like. We know that it means otherworldly. We know that it means perfection. We are covered by mud and muck, but in his holiness, he shines with an otherworldly light. And there are moments in Scripture that part of holiness is used, but that's not what Mary's talking about here. All-powerful, almighty God is holy. She's saying he is complete. He's all that you ever need. It's all found. Everything that you have, everything that you need is found in him. This is a crude example, but hopefully you can pick up the picture. My grandparents lived in a small little town in East Central Alberta. And it was a unique experience for 5-year-old me, to a city kid, to go to their town as a young boy, so 60-some years ago, to go to their little town and go shopping with Grandpa. First, we would leave the house with our own bag. We're just returning to what we knew 60 years ago, okay? And it was a sturdy bag. It was a fabric bag that had wooden handles. And on the way down, I got to carry it because it was light. But on the way back, Grandpa had to carry it because it was heavy. And we would walk down to the main street. It would be about 3 blocks away, and we would start at the drugstore. We'd buy what we needed there. And then we would go to the butcher shop, the meat locker. Some of you would even know what I mean by that, and you're now old because you know what a meat locker is. And then we would go to the greengrocer. And then there was another store that was a dairy. And another place on the street, there would be a farmer who had eggs that he was selling out of the back of his truck. And hardware items were at yet another place. And we would pick up mail at the post office. There would be a number of stops at different locations, different vendors, a lot of pulling out of the wallet and paying different people for what we got at this stop, because no one had all that we needed. And that was unique to this city boy, because I regularly went with my mother to the supermarket that where they had it all. One stop did it all. They had meat and vegetables and fruits and canned and boxed foodstuffs. They had crazy glue and shoelaces. All one place, one stop. It's a crude comparison, but Mary is saying, you're complete. You're whole. You are all that I need in one stop. I sing about how well you care for me, how completely satisfied I am with you. I have to announce that no one compares to you, that no one can look after every need, every emergency, only you. You're holy. You're wonderful. Verse 50. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. The song highlights the big picture. Remember, she's young, she's inexperienced, she's immature, she's under pressure, but she does not allow her world to shrink to her own circumstances or problems or her fear. It is not a me-based song that she's singing. Poor me, persecuted me, troubled me, nobody loves me, everybody hates me. I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms because it's all I deserve. She doesn't go down that alley. It's the big picture song. From time to time, from all generations, God has showed up. From Abraham to my encounter with God, God has been this wonderful God of mercy. From generation to generation, he has done what is right. He has shown up to the places he was welcomed. Where he's been asked, he has revealed himself. Where he was rejected, he has stood on the other side of the door and awaited an invitation to re-enter. He has not removed himself. He has not ignored his people. He has never abandoned his flock. He has shown only his mercy, his loving kindness from generation to generation to generation. He has protected his people from danger and scattered his enemies and has never been limited by his foes or by circumstances. He has always been more than enough. Always been more than enough. And my song must declare, my song must announce that he's the one who always shows up in mercy. Verse 52, he has brought down princes from their thrones. He's exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. I have to sing about his fairness. I have to declare that he is a God of justice. The evil ones, the evil people don't get away with their evil forever. He has brought down corrupt princes. He has removed unjust kings from their throne. He has picked up the humble, the unnoticed, the invisible, the kind people, and he has raised them to places of authority where they can do good for the people of God. He has not left the hungry in want. He has not left the weak in places of vulnerability. He has not left those who have done wrong unavenged. He has committed himself to filling the hungry with good things. He has left the proud and the arrogant who have had it all and not needed him. He has left them with empty hands. He is committed to the scales of justice. Again, this young, inexperienced girl sings the big picture. Sees the big picture. You may be in a place where you don't see it now. It seems like the evil are getting away with it, that it's your hands that are empty and it's the wrongdoers who have full hands. But you will see it. Mary declares in the song, I have seen his justice and you will too. I sing of his justice. I sing of his fairness. I sing of his loving kindness. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, and remembered to be merciful. In the 1,300 years of our history, from Abraham till this moment, in those years, we've not always been faithful. But he has always been there. He has always been faithful. In those generations, there have been places where his name was erased by that generation, but he was there. He helped us. He cared for us. He carried his people. When we deserved wrath and punishment, he was full and overflowing with mercy. I see the big picture. I see who he really is. I sing a song that is a big picture song. It covers centuries of faithfulness, power, mercy, and kindness, completeness, and satisfaction. I'm a small part of that story, and my song is needing to be sung. I announce to my nation, to my generation, that God is up to something big. Get ready, Israel, she says. I must announce to the troubled powers of darkness that you will soon be destroyed. The conquering victor is about to arrive. Your tyranny is ended. Your time is up. Cue the hallelujah chorus. Let it crescendo, she says. King of kings, Lord of lords, he shall reign forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, 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 she says. She sings. But when the music stops for a moment of silent reflection, all of a sudden, this beautiful soprano voice is raised again. This beautiful young woman sings, my soul will magnify the Lord, and all that I am will continue to rejoice in the God who looks after me, who saves me. Verse 55, for he made his promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his children forever. This song of mine was sung by Abraham, but it will be a song that is sung by my people, the followers of, the believers in God, forever. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be worshiped, adored, and sung to. The song will never end because his goodness, his mercy, his power, his wholeness, his faithfulness will always inspire his people to sing songs of joy forever. Verse 56 says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. And I love a lot of people, and I love a lot of people deeply, but there are very few people in my world that I'd want in my house for 3 months. The word came to Mary that she was going to carry the Messiah when Elizabeth was 6 months. She got up and immediately went to Elizabeth's house, and she stayed there for 3 months. And so she might have been there, perhaps was there, when John the Baptist was born. And I read that verse, and I wonder, what were the days after the song like? What did they talk about for the next 90 days? My guess is that it was a wonderful time of preparation and excitement as two women prepared for the miraculous arrival of their individual miracles. Elizabeth, a woman who was medically barren and physically old, awaiting the birth of a son that would change the history of the world. Mary, a virgin, waits for her time to give birth to the Savior of the world. I would think that the conversation, the revelations, the songs of praise would have been ongoing, would have been exuberant, would have been inspiring to sit and listen to. The presence of God would have filled that house, because here are two godly women who just love and praise and worship God and create this amazing atmosphere. Could I have the keys, please? I believe in the power of the song. I know for me that there are times when I feel stuck, times when I feel confused. And there'll be a lyric or perhaps an entire song that will start to go over and over and over and over in my mind. And each time I hear it, there's a little bit of understanding that falls into place. There's a little bit of revelation about who God is and how God works. There's those songs that start to stir faith. And so now they don't just play over and over in my head. I start to hum them. I start to hear the harmonies in my head. I start to feel the rhythm inside my soul. But let me tell you something. Something happens. Something is released. Something starts a spiritual chain reaction when I start to sing the words out loud, when I start to announce the truth. Something is unleashed. Hope starts to rise up. Faith starts to stir when I sing. Sometimes it's a song of thanksgiving for what God has done. Sometimes it's a declaration of faith for what I believe God will do, what God can do. Sometimes it's putting darkness on alert. The light is about to shine. Your tyranny will be ended. Your days are numbered. It will be revealed shortly to you who the champion really is. I don't serve a God who has lost one battle. Don't you try to make me think he will now. I could take you to many places in Scripture where songs are released, and when they're released, something happens. I can take you to unarmed people, former slaves who have just been released from captivity, and their captives are now chasing them through the desert by the most powerful army of the day in order to recapture those slaves and return them to their slavery. And here is Israel stuck between the sea and this advancing, marauding army with nowhere to go, no weapons, no military strength at all. And the word that comes to them is stand and see the salvation of God. And sure enough, God shows up. And the path that they had just walked through the sea in is now the path that the advancing army is on, and God causes the sea to enfold over them, and he drowns them all. And they sing, Moses sings, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. There's this joy, there's this awe that covers the entire nation as they sing the song of triumph. The writers of the song that are contained in the psalm book are having these constant encounters with God, and they're singing about what they have seen, what they have learned, what they've experienced. I would encourage our psalmists here this morning, keep your pens ready. There is about to be released a new song for this new season. Watch, listen, get ready. Write down the things that God says. And the instruction comes for both the songwriters and for the musicians, as well as those who are tone deaf and can't sing very well at all. Remember, the bar is set low. All you have to do is make a joyful noise. You don't have to be a beautiful singer. For you who are in difficult places today, start to sing. To you who are fighting giants and wrestling great temptations, start to sing. For you who face obstacles in the days that are ahead, for you who are desperate for a breakthrough, for you who are in danger, for you who are surrounded by enemies, for you who are discouraged and anxious, fear-filled and terrified, for you who are in great pain in your bodies or in your spirits, I'm giving you this instruction. Learn from Mary's song. Sing truth. Focus on the might, the power, the faithfulness, the holiness, the mercy of God. Remind yourself that you are not just a nobody. You are favored by the Lord. You're his child. His whole heart of love has been set on you. Don't forget that your voice was not made for complaint. Remember that you have been given a voice to announce truth that will cause the hopeless to jump for joy and the people of God to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the psalmist who speaks to not only this entire congregation and those who are listening online, but is speaking to you individually. Sing a new song. Sing a spontaneous, unprepared song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. Sing. Sing to the Lord. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will also pray with words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit. I will also sing with words I understand. When I get to a place where I don't know the words I'm supposed to sing, I sing in the Spirit. But there are those amazing breakthroughs where the words that have been curated from the Scriptures give me pictures and vocabulary to sing with my understanding about his greatness. Let the song of the Lord rise up within you. Do as Mary did. Magnify the Lord. Make him big. Speak of his greatness, his mercy, his loving kindness, his power, his completeness. Stand with me. Sing till the chains break. Sing till the joy comes. Sing till the answer arrives. Sing till the revelation is clear. Sing till the healer comes and the pain exits. Sing till heaven comes down and touches earth where you are. Sing till it is clear that He is God and there is no other. Sing till the fear disappears. Sing till it is well with your soul. Sing till the night ends. Sing till the prison door opens. Sing till the enemy is defeated. Sing till the battle is won. Sing that the Lord is great. His mercy endures forever. Sing that the Lord is great and He's worthy to be praised. Sing a new song. Sing a spontaneous song. Sing the song of the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Start to sing. Start to sing a spontaneous song. You are good. Your mercy, your mercy, your mercy endures forever. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Mercy that comes in the morning. Hope comes where there is no hope. Strength comes in our weakness.